Hey, hey, everybody. It's the intro before the intro. You know the deal. I got bills to pay. I got that studio bill is, whew, it's racking up. Hi, it's getting up there. And I got some sponsors to plug and some people to thank. And you know the drill. Intro before the intro. I appreciate you listening to this. It means a lot to me. We got a rerun today because I am trying to finish up the Jossa songs in the studio before I get like knee deep into Hatebreed pre-production when we get home from the tour. So this is my last little window to finish these Jossa tracks. So we got a rerun today, but it's a good one. And if you missed it back in, I don't know, February, March, when did we do this? I forget, but it's this is a rerun of episode 423 with Mark Morton from Lamb of God. And I love this dude, and he's just an amazingly talented riff beast in every sense, and just a great dude and a good friend. And I thought, you know what, this is a video episode, so we could also put this up on YouTube, because I don't think it ever went up on YouTube, and we're trying to get our YouTube subscribers up. So just search Mark Morton, Lamb of God, The Jossa Show, and give us a what do you got? Hit that subscribe button to our YouTube page, if you would. We appreciate it. So let me start with some gratitude. We're getting double gratitude because the people who donated to this episode way back when it came out also get a shout out on this. But real quick, I want to thank Michael Ash down in Ash in Stuart, Florida. Hopefully you're staying out of the harm's way there with Dorian. But I guess it wasn't as bad as like everybody had said it was going to be. Also, Spencer Fleming over in Omaha, Nebraska. And Spencer, I think we owe you a message back about the podcast that we're going to be doing in Omaha. It's not totally confirmed yet, but as soon as we know, you can sit in on that, Spencer. Thank you for all your support and your generosity. Also, Xavier Vacuna over in Margate, Florida, and Dale Long in Pensacola, Florida. I'm not sure if Margate and Pensacola were in the path of the hurricane, but I did see there were storms everywhere and debris flying and really high winds and stuff. So I hope everybody's safe. I was texting Matt Heafy and Corpse Grinder because I was supposed to be down there. I was supposed to be doing the podcast with them. That's also why we got to run a rerun. I forget what the saying. What was the term? I was like, you got to batter down the hatches. I don't know what the term is. Oh, no. He was Matt texting me back. He's like, hunkering down. We're hunkering down. But I don't think it hit too bad. So, Michael, Spencer, Xavier, and Dale, this is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show. This is my way to let you know.
So thanks again to Michael Ash, Spencer Fleming, Xavier Vacuna, and Dale Long. Really appreciate your generosity and your support. And if anybody wants to donate to the show, head on over to paypal.me/Jossa. Any amount gets you a shout out or a friend shout out or a birthday wish or whatever. And then anything over $20 gets you a care package from yours truly. And believe me, they are still being sent out. It's a little backed up, but that's okay. If you didn't get yours or your shout out yet, just shoot me an email, jossashow@gmail.com, and we will make sure we get it in there for next week, because we got the Thrash episode coming next week, and we have a brand new episode with Rob Flynn from Machine Head coming next week, which was so cool that Rob came into the city. So those will be up this week for Gas Digital Network subscribers. If you want to subscribe, of course, that's a great help too. GasDigitalNetwork.com. And use the code JOSTA, get the free trial. And we will be putting up a brand new JOSTA song, too. We're going to put up songs like every other week or something until the release of the JOSTA record. So the subscribers will hear all the songs and all the guest spots exclusively first on Gas Digital. Now we have a not suitable for work or for children plug, and I think you can all guess who it's from. And because we got Mark from Lamb of God, who's one of the hardest bands out, we thought it was fitting that BlueChew.com come back on as a sponsor. They literally like ran out of product after the last time we were plugging for them. So if you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers a men's performance enhancement for the bedroom, so you're going to get it hard and keep it hard, Buster. You're going to last a couple more rounds. You're going to last longer, and your partner's going to be like, whoa, what has gotten into him? You know what? He chewed it and dude it. No, that doesn't make sense. He chewed it and did it? Yeah, I don't know. Chew it and do it. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and chewables can work faster, up to twice as fast than pills. Chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or empty stomach, and an online physician consult is free. So there's none of this waiting in line like a Buster or waiting at the doctor's office and having to tell the doctor, you know, it's a limp noodle down there, if you know what I'm saying, okay? So here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code JOSTA. And if it's not your first order, maybe just, I don't know, change your email, but you didn't hear that from me. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Use the code JOSTA, and all you're going to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code JOSTA. Chew it and do it, Buster. Today's episode is also brought to you by Wix.com. Wix gives you the freedom to create websites you want. Whether you're promoting your business, showcasing your work, or opening an online store, you can do all that with Wix. And we built thejostashow.com with Wix, and we're loving it. It's easy to use. It helps me promote my live shows directly to you, the listener, and to people in the cities that I'm performing in. Wix also helps you get your business in front of people that you want to know about it while looking professional and saving you money. You can start by building your site for free. If you click the link at the bottom of thejostashow.com, Wix is going to give you 10% off any premium plan. So go to thejostashow.com, click on that link in the bottom, start your professional-looking website today. Get it up, Buster. 10% off any premium plan when you click that link at the bottom of thejostashow.com. I am headed out on tour. September 20th, we're starting in Springfield. Then we go to Erie. Then we go to Rochester for a headline show. Then we go down to Raleigh, then to Charlotte, then to Birmingham. It's going to be great. Dropkick Murphys, Clutch, Hatebreed, Amigo the Devil, and Russ Rankin from Good Riddance on some shows. Get your tickets at hatebreed.com. All right. Mark Morton, the Riff Beast, the one of the coolest dudes in metal, one of the nicest guys in metal. This is a rerun, episode 423. For those of you who missed it, now on to the show.
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Jasta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Dude just want to pick coffee, death metal, and push-ups hard.
Yeah.
Impress me, bro.
I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but
let a caveman live. That shit is hard.
You're all Jamie Jasta.
That's Howard.
I lost my mind.
That's Howard saying I lost my mind. Thanks to Nikki Belmore for the new and improved and updated intro. This is episode 423. Mark Morton from Lamb of God is going to be here to promote his new solo album that is coming out in March. I think he's got a tour to announce too. But first, I want to kick off the show with some shout outs. I want to thank Cisco V. I want to thank Shannon Dennison over in Arizona. I want to thank Nick Mangani Jr. and Ben Lee holding it down over in Hartford, CT. This is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show. This is my way to let you know.
And thank you so much, everybody who's donated over at the Venmo or the martyrstore.net podcast donation sales or donated at paypal.me/Josta if you want a shout out on the show. That's where to go. And yeah, we got Mark Morton coming in any minute now. So this is going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to seeing Mark. But before he comes in, we're going to answer some fan questions.
Answer some questions from the fans.
So the email is jostashow@gmail. If you have a fan question, or just use hashtag ask Josta, and I will get back on Twitter in a day or two and search those. But this one comes from Gerald Edwards. He writes in question about song segments. Hey, Jamie, I was wondering if you and your team use a streaming service or you have to contact any band's labels to play their music on your show. For example, Season of Mist sponsorship spots or Best of Hardcore Tracks top 15 of 2018. I have enjoyed your show for well over a year, and I usually listen while at work. Also, if I could suggest a guest or three, how about Mark Morton from Lamb of God? Well, hey, this is a timely email to read. His new songs are great, especially with Chester Bennington on it. Oliver Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon, and finally, Matt Pike from High on Fire. I read that part of his finger was amputated. Ouch. Stay hard, Gerald Edwards. Damn, I did not know that about Matt Pike. That's fucking crazy. I thought it was like part of his toe. So now he's going to be like full Tony Iommi style, which is, if that's true, that's crazy. We'll have to talk about that to Mark. And Mark's here. He's going to be walking in any minute now. So just to answer your question, as far as like Season of Mist or getting, you know, the labels just give us the clearance to play the tracks. Like if we've had Metal Blade, you know, Slagle or whoever will be like, yeah, it's all good. You know, Mike Failey. I'm trying to think what other labels. As far as the top 15, I think everybody was just happy to have the songs played. I don't know if we required any sort of special song usage or what. That's that. Brian, do you what is the, like, what do you do for SDR Show and Legion or any of the podcasts you produce? Like, do you have to get them to sign off for that?
A podcast is like a no man's land right at the moment. As long as you don't put it up on YouTube, nobody copyright strikes it.
Okay, right. Yeah, so if we were to put up old episodes on YouTube, I remember on SoundCloud they flagged it once. But I was just dealing with this, some of the clearance issues for metal dudes doing non-metal things. And, you know, we just did like cover version. Come on in. Mark Morton is here, baby. He's got a bunch of bags. He looks like a bag lady. This is great. He's like me, because when I travel, I look, oh, he's got a jean jacket with the wool on the inside and everything. Shout out to Amy. Shout out to John Freeman. Thank you for hooking this up. But anyways, back to your, Mark's going to walk in and get him right on the mic. But back to your question. Yeah, I think right now with podcasts, if you're looking to do a podcast and you want to play music on the show, just hit up the label and say, hey, can we get your permission? And they'll probably hit you back. Oh, but you know, you also asked about Oliver Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon on the podcast. A lot of people have been writing in asking for him to come on the show. And I just heard their new song, and it's like pop. So yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder why they would make that decision to kind of release a pop song. Mark Morton,
yeah.
In the building.
What's up?
Am I the first interview of the day?
Yeah, man.
It's not really an interview. It's more of a discussion. Yes, right there. What's up, buddy? Good
What's
to
up,
see you, man.
Good to see you, man.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good.
So I just finished answering you're going to sit in on a bunch of the segments today, but I just finished answering a fan question.
Okay.
And they actually suggested you come on the show. So this is a timely question. Shout out to Gerald Edwards. But he also mentioned in his email that Matt Pike from High on Fire had part of his finger amputated.
No way.
Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
Is that like a guitar player's worst fear?
Probably depends on which hand. Am I supposed to hear myself in these headphones?
Yeah, do you want?
Yeah, no, I'm good now. I'm just so deaf. Cool.
Right on.
I'm straight.
Welcome to New York City.
Thanks, homie.
You're here to promote the new album.
It's crazy, right?
Dude, it's out. It's going to be out in less than a month and a half. How many days?
I don't know. March 1st.
March 1st.
Yeah.
It's done. You can't go back. You can't change the mix. You can't change the mastering job.
You can't turn a pickle back into a cucumber.
That's a good one. I got to use that.
Yeah.
So is it everything you hoped it would be?
It's so much more, honestly, Jamie. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was doing all this press and I'm just kind of thrown into it. And I really had no idea what I was getting myself into, which is funny because, you know, I've made so many albums with Lamb of God, or been a part of that process at least, right? If you'd asked me before, I would have said I've made so many albums with Lamb of God, but I really didn't make any. I was just a part of the process, right? Because
right.
This time, like, I have such a new appreciation, a brand new appreciation for what it takes, like how many people work so hard on these things and how many resources go into it and kind of what a responsibility it is. Once you get the machine rolling behind something, like, it's going, you know what I mean?
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle, man. So especially we got a banger right now with this, you know, with Cross Off with Chester. So that's like kind of doing its thing. And I'm like, holy cow, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought I was just going to track some songs with some friends and find a little deal for it and put it out. And, you know.
Major label.
Yeah, I know. It's like its own thing now. But it's cool. Like, I'm thrilled. Like,
yeah.
I'm just kind of like, wow, this is, okay.
The response,
guess I'm doing this.
The response is really good too. I thought that more of some of the more staunch sort of hater type elitist metalheads were gonna kind of hate on the Chester thing, but I saw like really I was surprised at how positive the reactions were.
I was to a degree, but I hope I don't sound like do we cuss on this or mm-hmm. okay, I don't hope I don't sound like an asshole, but I just feel like the song's a banger, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a special song. It's you know, I'm a part of it and I worked on it, but I just feel like it's just a banging song and Chester sounds great. So yeah, people are gonna talk shit sometimes, but it's just a good song and he slays it. So
oh yeah, he's my favorite rapper.
Yeah.
It was Corey Taylor. It's currently
now it's Chester. Yeah, no, his performance is amazing on it, and so yeah, it was funny. The one that I was a little, I guess, most unsure about was "Truth Is Dead" when we dropped the song with Randy and Alyssa in December, because that one I didn't know. That was the first thing out and the first kind of announcement that I was doing something on my own like this, and I didn't know how that one would go down, but that was very well received. And once I started getting the feedback on that, and I'm not one to get online and read comments and stuff like that. I used to do that earlier in my career. I don't really mess with that anymore. But this time I did, because it's a different thing. It's a brand new thing, you know. So once I started seeing some feedback on the Randy and Alyssa thing, I was like, all right, we're going to be fine because people are digging this. And I know what I got coming out next, so... Yeah.
Well, I had a lot of people hitting me up just because they had heard the story about the song on the podcast. You know, we've talked about it a lot because I was like, at first I thought, God, I was so bummed that it wasn't available anymore because I really wanted to use it on a Jost album. And
oh, right. That's right.
You know, and then once I heard it, when you sent it to me, I talked about that on the podcast saying like, you know, he just did such a better job than I would have ever done that it's kind of like it was a relief.
It changed a lot, I think. I think music, I don't remember which version that I had sent you, but I've been kind of incubating that the idea and that chord progression in the chorus for years. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really...
And it stuck through, like, different, me pitching it to people, you know, and it was just like, nobody bit, but I was like, man, there's something to this thing, man. It's hanging around. And then we developed it, you know, we sort of developed and redeveloped it again when I got in with Josh for the pre-production on the solo album.
Was it ever going to be Chester singing on the whole album or an EP with you and Chester? Or was it always, because people were speculating about that when you guys originally were in the studio together and there were some photos out there
yeah.
of you two together.
No, it was always him on one song. But then when we did the song, he and I were talking after the recording, and he was just banter, but he was like, man, let's do another one. I was like, I was like, you, when you're ready, you tell me. Like,
yeah,
I'm down. You know, I think that was just friendly banter, but no, it was always, you know, going to be just that tune.
Do you remember like when you last traded messages with him?
That was the last one I remember. My phone, I wish I still had those messages. My phone blanked out and I had to get a new phone, so I lost all that stuff. But I wish I still had that chain of messages with him, because I think that's the last conversation we had via text. Was he was like, man, this song's a banger, like I love it, man, let's do another one. I was like, anytime you tell me where to be and I'll do it, you know?
Yeah,
and that was the last interaction we had.
Wow. Yeah, I have a couple of you in the phone. It's like more. I had one. It was like Morton 2K15. And it was like Morton 2K18. Like there, Mark.
Mark, yeah, 2K18. I sent you all. Every time I send you something, I'd be like, "He's sure to take this one." You'd be like, "Yeah, I don't know." Well, come on, man.
The one on the last Jost album, "This Is Your Life," that's a banger, and people love that one, and people. You know, request to play it. I wish that I had you play on it, though.
Did I write riffs on that, or was it just...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't remember. I sent you so much stuff, I don't remember what you used and what you did.
I know. Well, I have to show you all the stuff that you've sent me with the titles so that you know sort of which incarnation the stuff is, because when I had hit you up saying, hey, this one's going to make the album, you're like, I don't remember that one. And I'm like, well, it's from you.
I remember I listened to the whole track.
I think
I was like, Jamie, I don't think I wrote any of this. And you were like, you did. I was like, all right. But.
Because I was like, if I don't give you the credit on this, you're going to hit me up and go, hey, I wrote that. How come you didn't give me the credit?
I mean.
But I changed the tuning. So maybe that's why you don't...
There's a lot of reasons, bro. You know, it depends on when it was. I used to self-medicate quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know where I was at.
You were in the Matrix for a little bit.
I was for a minute, yeah.
But now when you release this album, will you then follow up quickly with another, with all these other ideas? Because you got the... Because I feel like I'm going to follow up with another Jost this year, because... now the juices are flowing and I'm like not afraid to just release everything from the hard drives and the old demos. I'm like, it does me no good sitting on the hard drive.
Yeah. I'm honestly kind of squeezed out. Like we, you know, there was more material than you hear on the album that Josh and I kind of sifted through. But it wasn't like we had too much material. The stuff that didn't make it was just kind of vetted out, you know, because it wasn't, you know, sometimes fans are like, you write such great riffs. I'm like, yeah, but I only let y'all hear the good ones. Like there's, you know, Jamie Jost will tell you there's some whack ones in that there. One. There's some lame ones in there too, but you know, you got to throw everything to the wall and see what sticks.
The one that you wrote for Black Tide, I still kind of like that one.
That went somewhere else, actually. Someone else is working with that right now.
Really?
Yeah,
Whatever happened to that band? That was like a major label, like Trivium kind of style band.
Yeah, they were. They had a lot of resources behind them. I don't really know. I never really knew those dudes. Someone that was working with them was asking me. They were asking for song submissions. And, you know, I've always got stuff I'm working on laying around. And sometimes that stuff isn't for Lamb. It's just whatever. It's going on in between my ears, so... Yeah, I sent them that tune, but they didn't bite. It's sitting with somebody else right now. I think someone's actually using it.
Yeah, because we pulled it up because I made a folder of all your demo ideas. I went to your old email, which now gets bounced back, and I made sure I dragged those files into a new file that says, like, which ones are taken, which riffs we used, which riffs you've used. But I'm excited to listen the rest of your album because I know I'm going to find little
there
pieces.
Might be some stuff on there. Well, the good news is that all that stuff's been gone through, so everything now is fresh. And, you know, will I go back into another solo project? I mean, I got Lamb, you know, so Lamb's busy. We're writing now. So pretty much, you know, the Anesthetic album has been wrapped for a while. It's just coming out now, right? So, yeah, everything's kind of creatively sort of pretty much focused on Lamb right now.
Hey everybody, it's Jamie jumping in here with a quick not suitable for work or children mention. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. You're going to get it hard and keep it hard when you chew it and do it with Blue Chew, the first chewable men's performance enhancement. So you're going to be able to last longer, go a few more extra rounds. Who knows? You're going to up that in. You're going to get that enhancement, playa. Go to BlueChew.com after the podcast. Use the code JOSTA, and all you're going to do is pay $5 shipping. Same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. No doctor waiting, you know, no office wait. No weird, you know, conversation with the pharmacist. Like, any questions for the pharmacist? Yes, it's going to fucking give me a veiny rod that I can plow in. All right, let's keep it PG. All right, BlueChew.com. Use the code JOSTA. All you're going to do is pay $5 shipping. Big thanks to Blue Chew. Chew it and do it. Now back to the show.
Okay.
And how's Chris? He's all healed up. Like, is he all healed up or he needs more surgery?
He's still working through it.
Okay.
He's still working through it.
So like physical therapy and...
Yeah, there seems to be a bunch of that kind of stuff going on.
I see. It's been a minute. I got to hit him up. It's been a minute. Yeah, I've been in the Matrix.
Yeah? Oh,
yeah? Yeah. So it's...
You all right?
I'm good now, yeah. But holidays killed me. I got to drop this holiday weight still. Yeah, how
I feel you on that.
Are the gyms empty now? Like, can we go now? Like, is it...
I haven't checked in a minute. Shocker.
But, yeah, I was wondering, like, are you going to try to get... a record out like during the tour or after the tour or later in the year with Lamb?
With Lamb, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Those are people way smarter than me make those kind of decisions. But I can tell you we're working on it. There's new songs. It's hard to call them songs because they're not, you know, finished. But there's a lot of new ideas bouncing around.
Have you ever done it like Slayer style where like Willie will just write an entire song and then you'll just write an entire song?
Yeah, we used to actually do that. That's more or less what we did from, I'd say, Ashes of the Wake, Sacrament, Wrath, and pretty much most of Resolution. All those albums weren't entirely that style of writing, but they were largely that style where Willie or myself would bring in 4 minutes of music structured out, you know what I mean? And often, like in my case, a lot of times it would have lyrics on it and I would demo out a vocal and everything and bring in a complete song. Now those things would change and the drum parts would change, the bass parts would change, Randy would pick and choose what he wanted to do, but yeah, we would bring in the outline of a song. Last album, Storm and Drang, and on this album,
how do you say it?
Well, it depends where you are.
Because I know I fuck it up.
We're in the United States, so I would say Sturm und Drang.
Sturm und Drang?
Yeah. Okay. I think if you're in Germany, you would say something like Sturm und Drang.
Yeah. So, please tell me you voted against that title, or was it your idea?
I don't know. It was my idea. You hate it, don't you? It was all a strategy to break the ban in Germany because they hate us there.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they hate you there.
They love you. They hate me.
No, they...
And I'm German.
I think that you guys, so you've kind of had that feeling towards Germany like Rob Flynn had for San Diego for a minute.
Oh yeah.
But you guys were ready to fire Germany, but I think you need to rehire Germany.
No, we just spent like 2 weeks there with Slayer.
And you didn't like it.
Oh, I love Germany. It's like one of my
best.
It's my grandmother spoke German, not English. Like my aunts are over there. You know what I mean? Like I love Germany. They just hate me.
I don't believe that. I think maybe you need to play Germany with somebody like Parkway Drive or Slipknot or somebody who's more modern. I could see like maybe this is Slayer Anthrax's tour in the sense where those old school people are coming out.
It's a lot of old heads in the crowd at a Slayer show in Germany, that's for sure.
A lot of battle vests.
Front row.
A lot of patches.
I could tell you a funny story, but I'm not going to do it on the air.
Okay. Tell me after. Fans are going to be pissed now.
Yeah, sorry.
A lot of Venom patches.
Sorry. Yeah. That.
Yeah. I just like the blunt upfront approach of the German fans. I love it. I never get butthurt about it.
I like the German press even more, you know, like, I was supposed to interview you, but I've heard your new album. It's not necessary now.
Yeah. Your last album was shit. Your current album is also shit, but I like one song.
It's like, okay. Why do you release as Burns a Priest? Are you embarrassed, perhaps, of your last release as Lamb of God?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about the covers album. That kind of, that thing.
You loved it.
There were some bangers on there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, dude, you did a one voice era AF song. That's hard.
Yeah, we were all over the place on that. We did a Ministry cover.
Which one?
Right, Jesus Built My Heart.
Oh, all right. I would have said Just One Fix is hard. Yo, pull up Just One Fix for me real quick. Can I just hear this riff? I think Rammstein owes. Wait, should we do this as our Yours Is Ours Is? I think Rammstein owes Ministry a sandwich for this riff, right? All right, let's hear the Yours Is Ours Is theme.
Hold on. Let me tell you.
Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is. Listen to me. Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is. Listen to me.
All right, so let's first hear. Shout out to Lorenzo. That's him on the.
Is it all of that's him?
Yeah, I'm in the background. Yeah, okay. No, I'm doing backup vocals on that.
Okay. Sound great.
Don't let me forget. We got to go back to the Carrie Hanneman, co-writing thing because there's something I want to discuss. So don't let me forget that.
I'll try.
So let's hear Ministry first. Just One Fix. This shit is hard. Don't be around me when this comes on. I mean, dude, they had riffs on that album. You want to talk about pits? When I saw them at Worcester Palladium, hard pitting motherfuckers. They had everybody in the pit. Dudes wearing drug rugs, punk rockers. Listen to this shit. Oh my God! They had everybody. Dudes with dreadlocks, straight edge dudes, ska fans. Ministry drew from everybody. All right, now let's hear Rammstein. What is it, Du Hast? We'll see. What do you think?
It already sounds like Rammstein.
Let's see if
or really vice versa, I guess. You know, we'd say Rammstein.
But what year did Ministry come out? 93?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like Rammstein sounds like Ministry, not the other way around.
Yeah. Is it Du Hast or is it the other one? Can you turn on your mic, Brian?
Have you ever done this with Testaments Into the Pit and Lamb of God's Lay to Rest?
That's the most submitted Yours Is Ours.
Okay, good. That's the template, right?
Yeah. There was a rumor, too, that like Eric Peterson would see you guys in Shadows Fall and he would just hold out his hand. And
I told him a couple times, I owe you $20 for sure.
You owe him a sandwich?
Yeah.
I mean, it's similar, but it's not the same riff.
It's pretty close.
Everybody should just buy close. Uncle Al a sandwich. Right?
I mean, probably just in general. As you know.
Because they were really ahead of their time. But yeah. So I'm happy that you're here for all the segments. This is great.
Yeah, me too, man.
I haven't, and you really deserved like a real deal full length podcast because we did
that one on the bus in Europe,
and it got fucked up. My hard drive got fucked up. We lost half the episode, and it was epic.
Was it?
Yeah, the Chris Adler podcast. However, he goes through all this bullshit, and then right when he was done, he's like, "Okay, now I can tell you the real shit." I'm like, "Motherfucker, tell me the real shit on the podcast."
Yeah,
I'm like, "This motherfucker," but hey. We'll leave the Chris Adler talk for off the mic, but I have some serious Chris Adler ball breaking I need to do. But anyways, back to the co-writing with Slayer, with Hanneman and King.
Okay.
I always was hoping they would do a double album where like Carrie writes one and Hanneman likes the other. Would you ever do that with Willie?
It seems kind of divisive, you know what I mean?
But why if you guys
it
are...
It takes the friendly competition and makes it, you know, less friendly.
Well, if you tell people. But if you just did it behind the scenes...
Oh, that's even more sinister, right?
Because...
When you get the streaming numbers, you're like, yo, my shit's better than yours.
No, but because back in the day, you would open up the album and it would say, like, the name of the song and it would say, like, King.
Yeah, sure. We do everything. It's a group. You know what I mean? We do everything. Writing is all five, you know.
Because you know what's a good deep cut from I think it's from, what was that, Hate Worldwide? What was the album? What was the Slayer album? Play Psychopathy Red. That's a Hanneman song. And when this shit came out, I was like, I knew it was a Hanneman song. Like, just from the style of the riffing. First, should we hear the deep cuts theme? And then... give you a taste of Psychopathy Red. Tell me if you got any shit like this on your record. Like, you got any balls out fucking straight thrash on here?
On my solo record?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, there's a song. The song with Chuck Billy called The Never is metal, like straight up thrash metal.
See, I got to call Willie Adler because if he does a solo album, I think I would get the invite. Whereas with this, I don't know what happened.
Someone told me you were going to give me shit for There's really only two metal songs. I mean, like what we would call metal, like thrash metal songs. The rest of it's kind of rock and blues oriented. Yeah, it's not like a heavy metal record.
But
that's my out with you there.
Okay. Yeah. Unless
you want to sing like a blues rock song. But
you ready? We'll do a deep cut.
Deep cuts! Deep cuts! Love me some deep cuts, deep cuts, deep cuts. Tell me your favorite motherfucking deep cuts.
Now, I really just want to talk over the song because the song is wild. Do you remember this song? Are you deep in Slayer's catalog, or did you give, or were you one of those guys like, after everything after Hell Awaits, I don't listen to?
So I hate to say this publicly because it's not shitty. The last Slayer album I bought was Divine Intervention.
Okay.
And I loved it.
It's great.
Yeah, I loved it.
There's some deep cuts.
And it's not that like Slayer bummed me out after that. I just kind of started listening to more hip hop and punk rock and just getting a little more diverse.
Bro, fair enough.
Yeah.
Dude, listen to this shit though. This is badass. Turn this up. If I came to practice with this riff and I was Willie Adler, you'd be like, yo, that's hard. Or would you?
What we would never do? And this isn't good or bad.
Like, listen, right here.
Like, it's been now.
You would add a tail, a different tail.
The snare pattern would change. We would never do the monkey beat that long. You know? We wouldn't do it for more than four measures, probably.
Right.
At a time, you know. That's the thing, like, if you ever pay attention, like, the snare pattern swaps, like, every four bars or at least every eight. Like,
yes.
It's never going to be dot and dot and dot and dot and dot and dot for the whole tournament.
And you would add a different tail at the end of the riff.
Every other one.
Yeah. Because you got that, like, I feel like you got just enough of that, like, ADD influence in your riffing where it keeps it interesting for me.
Yeah.
But when I hear like caveman style like this, I also like the repetitiveness.
Yeah. It's kind of hypnotic, right?
Whose solo is this?
You're exposing me. I could never tell them apart.
You can't?
The solos are never really why I love Slayer.
Okay. Yeah, you ever seen that meme?
See, this shit, when it...
Yeah.
I need the drums to cut for me to start feeling it.
Yeah.
They're back up now, man.
That was just a taste.
Yeah, right.
They're like, we're going to fool you into coming out of mosh retirement and then go back into a solo.
See, South of Heaven's my Slayer album because it's slow. It's got groove.
Listen to they changed the riff up. Hard.
I don't even know. What album is this from?
Hate Worldwide, or what's it called? It's, I always mess up this album title with the other song they would play from this album. I think it's Hate Worldwide. Dude, that shit is great. And it's short and sweet. That's why I like it. World Pain and Blood.
Okay.
Right? And then they also, because when we last played with them, they opened with World Pain and Blood and Hate Worldwide. Two new songs out of the gate. I loved that about Slayer.
I remember thinking that on this last tour that I thought their set list was confident.
Yeah. Because they do like When the Stillness Comes, but that's like a beer break song, right? For the old schoolers.
The first two or three songs are not what I would have thought they would have been.
Not at all. But I like that Repentless one, and the crowd knows it. It gets a pop.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Did you make up any words for this, for any song titles or...
For Slayer? No.
No, for your album. Your album.
Because
Carrie can get away with like making up his own word.
Like Repentless?
Yeah, it's hard. It just sounds legit.
No, but I did have to keep looking up how to spell anesthetic because I was confident.
I couldn't spell it.
I was putting like an A where there's an E.
So did you come into New York last night?
Monday. Today's Wednesday. Came in Monday afternoon.
Okay, what do you think?
I love it here, man. I always love it here.
You see anything wild?
Just a bunch of interviews.
So you didn't go and see anything wild?
This is wild. Yeah, I saw a bunch of wild shit.
All right, because when I got off the train today, this guy, you know, you see the panhandlers and you see the homeless people. I always feel for him when it's super, super cold.
Oh, it was brutal. Monday was crazy.
You were rocking Long Johns?
No.
Dude, I got the Long Johns. I got a bunch of them now.
You got it.
You got it, right, Brian? Yeah. Dude,
it was 2 degrees on Monday.
I got those Under Armour Long Johns, like those ones that I'm like a ballerina under the fucking jeans.
Y'all
over
on
here.
Some Yankee shit.
So yeah, you're south of Mason-Dixon. You don't get this weather, but so you know, I always feel bad when I'm out there and stuff. But then this guy, you know, he's like, "Come on, man, it's freezing." So I'm looking for money and I gave him a couple bucks, but then he stood up and he was like 6'6". And I was like, bro, you're way too tall to be homeless. And then I thought about that. And he looked at me crazy and I thought about it. I'm like, because if you've ever looked at like any chick's dating profile, it's like, must be 6'2" or higher. Like you can't find a girl. Like he was like a good looking dude too. And then I started thinking, oh, did I just get scammed again? Like, is this like
because he's tall? and you're reading dating profiles? Yeah. Like, where, what just happened?
No, because I knew this chick. She was on Tinder and she was like, oh, if there's anybody under 6'2", I just swipe. I can't deal. Like,
you want to date a chick like that?
No, I know her. She's not she's not a bad person, but she...
Especially, what are you, 5'7"?
No, bro, come on. I'm lucky. I'm 5'9" on a good day.
Are you really?
All right. How tall are you?
Like 5'7" on my tiptoes.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so, but then... I thought...
I'm not ashamed of it. I'm short, man.
Well, I mean, I thought, you know, hey, is there a height requirement to be homeless? No, they're really shit. It's terrible. We might have to just edit this whole segment. No, we'll leave it in there. But so there's always something wild happening to me, like to and from the city. And the other night when I was, so I had to cancel a whole day of podcast. So you're saving me today. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I came, and I won't say who fucking bailed on me, but...
You'll tell me later.
Yeah, wasted a whole day, wasted hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
They didn't bail on all the shows.
They didn't bail on all the shows on the network, but I just want to shout out John and Amy and everybody you work with for... You got here on time, you didn't waste my time, and that's why I'm going to really seriously go to the wall, like, promoting this record for you.
That's why? Because of the whole time?
Yeah, I just appreciate people who... realize that this is a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
You know, and like I always am thanking whenever I put out an album or whenever I have a tour to promote, I'm always like overly thankful to the people, the Jackies and the Jose's and Sean the Butcher and everybody, you know, who's willing to have me on the other podcasts. And, you know, it's just, anyways, that's a whole
other. It takes a whole lot of resources and a whole lot of manpower and woman power and effort to make the whole process of releasing an album happen, for sure. And I have a definite newfound appreciation for that with this project, you know.
Absolutely. And I you know, so I have these adventures coming to and from the city, and I'm always like, I need to be filming the whole time. But the problem is when you're filming, you never get the good shit like you do when you're not filming, right? So I get on the train the other night after this horrible fucking day, and this lady is, I always go to the back where there's like a table, and because usually people aren't back there at the time that I go. But there's lady back there, and she's got all her stuff spread out, whatever, and she's just laughing as I'm walking up. And I was like, what's up? I'm like, it's a good day for her. I was like, maybe she's partying, I don't know. And then they come over to me and her to check the tickets, and they check her, and they're like, oh, you've been randomly selected. I've never seen this happen on a train. Like, you've been randomly selected by the, I guess, the train's version of the TSA. Is it the TSA for the train? I don't know.
There's some sort of controlling authority there, right?
Right. So they're like checking her passport and all this stuff. She's like, I'm a U.S. citizen, but she's Chinese. She said, you know, like, I have a passport or whatever. And,
it is the TSA.
It is, right? Okay. And I'm not going to say her name or whatever, but she had said, you know, she was Chinese or whatever, but she was a great sport about it, you know, no big deal, whatever. And then they walk away and she's still laughing. And I'm like, this lady's wild. And then she goes underneath the table. Now I'm just minding my own business. I got my headphones on, and she's laughing, and then she gets back up and she goes to like the cafe car. She comes back with some popcorn and some beers and like a little like thing of chocolate. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to the cafe car too. So I'm looking at my stuff. I'm like, do I leave my stuff? You think my stuff will be safe? Another guy came and sat down. He looked legit. So I'm like, I'll just take my valuables and leave like my jacket and stuff, because I've had stuff taken from me on the train. Like random shit too. Like a guy took my scarf one time. I'm like, what the fuck? So
I love that you're recounting your internal monologue, man.
Dude, well, so I get up and my fucking shoelaces are tied together. And she starts howling. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So I look down and she just thinks it's hilarious. And I'm like, what do I do? So I just start laughing. I'm like, this lady fucking tied my shoelaces together? Like, I'm sitting with a fucking prankster? So I bend over and I'm like, I pull the little, it's like a...
A woman went under the table you were sitting at and you didn't wonder what the fuck she was doing?
I was like, this is bizarre. But now I'm like 5 steps or 4 steps, you know, from going into the cafe car. So I look and I'm like, this is crazy. So I go to order my stuff and I'm thinking the whole time, like, what do I say to her when I get back? So I get back and I'm just giving her like the finger, like, hey, you're funny, you're tricky, you know? And she's, when I get back, she's dead serious. She's like, what? She's acting completely nonchalant. And I look at the dude. I go, is she fucking for real? I go, you guys for real? And he's like, what? I'm like, what is going on?
Wow.
Yeah, so you didn't have any weird interactions with anybody.
nothing Jesus. Of that caliber, no.
Hey, everybody. It's Jamie here trying to pay some bills, if you know what I mean. Wix is bringing you today's podcast, and I love Wix. You can eat a bag of dicks if you don't build your site with Wix. You know why? Because Wix gives you all that drag and drop technology. They help you showcase your work, whether you're opening an online store or promoting your business. Wix is the place to build your website. It's never too late. I don't care if you're a blogger to be, if you're making cupcakes, if you're promoting shows, if you're in a band, if you're putting together tours, you got to have a dope website, and Wix will make that happen. Go to thejostashow.com. We built it with the Wix drag and drop technology with their templates. Click that link at the bottom and you're going to get 10% off any premium plan. That's thejostashow.com. Click that link at the bottom, 10% off any premium plan. Boom, I'm hooking you up, Buster. Eat a bag of dicks if you don't use Wix. Now back to the show. Wow. All right. Well, anyways, you ever play Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
You did?
Yeah, I did for a little bit, yeah.
All right. Can you explain it to me? Because I've seen...
I mean, I'll try.
Okay. I've seen people doing this. I know some metal people do it. Oh. And we were thinking about doing it for Metal Dudes Doing Non-Metal Things, episode 3.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's fucking metal at all. I don't think... No. I don't care how many dragons and dungeons
dorky
are.
Dorky shit, yeah.
But
no, I mean, I was like 10, 11 years old when I played this game, yeah.
Do you remember, like, what you do?
I remember that there's all kinds of, like, books and literature that you, different people have, and you read all this shit about being your character or whatever, and you just roll dice. It's like a role-playing game with dice, and it's some mystical medieval fairy shit.
So you could be a wizard or whatever.
I guess, yeah. They had different categories of, like, that your character could be or become or something like that. I don't, you know, this was 35 years ago or something.
All right, because we were somewhere. I want to say we were in Japan, and there was a dude... I forget who told me this or if I was there or what. I'm going to totally probably Brian Williams the shit out of the story right now. But there was a dude who was there and he's like saying to us, I think it was to us. He was saying like, oh, I'm here for a Dungeons and Dragons like professional tournament. So I think you can be we need to look this up, Ryan. You could be a Dungeons and Dragons pro. Like you could turn that into a check.
Yeah, but I mean, you can be a pro video game player. You can, can't you be like a pro, whatever they're playing these days, World of Warcraft or whatever the new one. Can't you be like?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's people that make a living.
Well, I know you could be a pro gamer, or like pro Fortnite or whatever.
Right, that's the one I'm trying to think of. So what's the difference between that and being a pro D&D player?
I don't know, but I'm thinking like, how do they monetize this? Like, how is it? Because that if you were a kid and someone was like, yo, later in life. You could do this.
Can you be a pro? Can you be a pro chess player? You can, right? Aren't there people that
can
are
you?
Professional chess players?
Because yeah,
so,
I think
so, you know somehow they're getting. I don't know if like the people that make chess boards or they're endorsing them, or maybe they get paid for an appearance, or maybe there's contests. You know what I mean?
They give you like little like gloves for your fingers, like if you play outside in the park,
right? Your signature model chess glove.
You got like a NASCAR jacket. You got to sip it like while you're playing chess, like. You do like after interviews.
That's probably how they monetize Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, because if you love doing something and then you make it into a career, haven't you won?
Have you?
Have you won at life?
I don't know. Do you still love it like you used to love it?
There's some days I love it, man.
Yeah, sure.
There's some days where I'm like, I've won. And then there's other days. Like there's someone that you know very well who's in a foreign country right now in paradise. And I said to them the other day, you've won. Just be happy. You've won at life. So be grateful every day.
He's grateful. I know you're talking about. He's
no, I know he's grateful.
Gratitude is one thing that cat's got a lot of.
For sure. But to get to that point is quite the journey.
Yeah. 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 Sometimes it takes a lot of resentment to get to a place of gratitude.
Yeah. Is the resentment okay? Is the spite, like using the spite to fuel you, is that okay?
I don't know if it's okay or if it's like some sort of like maturation process we go through, right? Because, I mean, really, what does any, I mean, resentful of the music industry, of being, you know, of having a job that pays you money to play guitar for people or get on stage and jump around and scream for people, you know what I mean? Like, but you can resent being away from your family. You can resent missing your kid's birthday. You can resent, you know, not having been home in 3 months. So, you know, I guess it's a balance, but. I feel like I'm at a place where I feel like we're super lucky to be, you know, people want to hear us sit at a table and talk to each other.
Yeah.
People want to hear us go on stage and make a bunch of noise.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I want all the riffs. Like when you're here, I'm like, I want all the Mark Morton riffs. So like, I want you to have a long, healthy career. But with what we see out there, with what's happening with the opioid epidemic and with all the suicides and depression and anxiety, like I've been thinking like, man, I need to be checking on people more. I need to be like more proactive about, you know.
You live that too, man. I mean, there are definitely times when I was struggling with some stuff and you're reaching out to me on a regular basis. I mean, we still talk, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
you were definitely somebody checking in. I appreciate that.
Well, it's not just for the riffs. I mean, I want the riffs.
No,
it's not just for selfish reasons.
No, of course.
But because I am looking forward to the new Lamb of God and your music, I mean, your riffs, they make people's lives better. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. Like I've had your music in my ears when I needed it and the song comes on and I go, this is my jam. And this is my fuel.
Isn't it still special? I know you get this all the time and I get it too. People like this song or that song, like, changed my life or saved my life or, you know, meant this to me because of this. And that's like, that's some of the best feedback you can get.
Ever. Yeah. Oh, that's the best. I never tire from that. I try to, because people will start with, I know you've heard this a million times. I'm like, dude, it's okay. Like each time I hear this, you're fueling the tank.
It becomes bigger than what you or I did as a part of making that song or whatever. It gets its own life and it impacts people. Like around the world, people are impacted by the music you do. And use that for like inspiration and motivation and you know, particularly your music, because it's so uplifting, because it's so positive, you know what I mean? Like people really, really are drawn to that. It changes people's lives.
It's a great thing, man. It's a cyclical power. I always
say
that.
That's humbling, man. Like,
but there's songs that aren't even like personal, where just the shit hits me and I'm like, yes. And then I use that how I need to use it. Like, I always say contractor, pull up contractor. I was asking Randy, I was like, what the fuck is a Mujahideen? He told me what it was. I forget it now, but I don't care.
Mujahideen is a freedom fighter, man. It's like a, you know, well, it's the somebody's version of a freedom fighter.
Somebody's freedom fighter is another person's like arch net.
Yeah.
They're from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Okay, play contractor. This shit is hard. Is this a deep cut? What track number is this on the album?
Shit, I don't know what album's on, man. It's on Wrath. I think it's on Wrath.
Is it on Wrath? I think it is.
It's track 4 on Wrath.
Okay, so it's not a deep cut, but it's still hard. Just give me a taste of this. This is why I don't trust people who don't like heavy music.
I like this song.
Because if you're in bed, you hate your job, you hate your wife, you hate your life, you have a deficiency in your brain or whatever, I want to put like a sensor on your head, then play this song and have a scientist tell me.
Do the readout. The brain scan.
Because I will get up, I will fucking brush my teeth with this blaring. I will take a shower and my day changes. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, let's take a ride.
Gang vocal.
I'll get in the car. Don't be in front of me in the car in another.
I haven't heard this in forever. I like.
Hold on, give me this. Oh, wait, is Randy about to be my favorite rapper on this part?
Right. It does have a rap bit.
Does it have a rhyme?
Huh?
Does it have a rhyme?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this shit's hard right here.
A little John Campbell feature.
Oh, you let John off the leash on this.
So, I remember it was a conversation, the whole Garen fucking Teed. Like, can we really do that?
You made up your own word.
We did. You're right. You're right.
That's
you
awesome.
Asked me that earlier, and I forgot about this bit.
Garen fucking
Randy did.
Teed.
That's Randy.
That shit's hard. Randy's my favorite rapper on this part. Dude, Randy's got bars. That shit's great. Something about turning a parking lot into glass or something. Yeah. What does he say? There's some great lines in there. And then if you're not circle pitting during this part, you're not my friend. Anyways, soft fade out from Brian there. Nice production work, Brian.
Man, I haven't heard that in a while. You got me amped up.
But yeah, if you're feeling
on my own shit,
like it does, the lyrics don't even need to be about something to change your mind when you put on a song that you that just jams.
Yeah,
and that's even amazing in itself. That's like a miracle to me.
That kind of energy can be transferred like that.
And it's always there for you. Like if you play, like, dude, I got to play you. It doesn't have bass on it yet. I wanted to ask you, who should I get as a guest bass player? I covered Holy Wars for the next Josta album.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't have bass on it yet. But dude, this riff's got to be 30 years old. But when this shit comes on, dude, how does this not make your life better? And is this one of the hardest, like, late 80s breakdowns before
I remember sitting and learning this riff by riff, man. I used to be able to play the whole thing. Except the lead. I can never figure out what the hell he's doing. Dude.
I got Joey C doing the lead. Yeah. I got Charlie ripped this. This might not even be the real track. This might be the scratch track. But dude.
And you need a bass player?
I wanted Frank Bello.
Get Campbell.
I should get JC.
Get Campbell, man. Campbell slays.
Yeah. I should get JC on this. Look at you looking out for your dude.
That's my dude, man. All
right, who's the second choice of Clyde Campbell? Because he's going to be like, I don't know. I got this tonight. I got this other thing tonight. I got the kids tonight. I got the kids tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Dude, listen to that.
Who's the second choice?
Give me a second choice for a guest bass player.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear me do my Mustaine? Should I play it up into the Mustaine?
Yeah, you going to sing now?
Yeah, you want me to hit? You want to hear it?
Oh, I thought you were going to do it like right in front of me. Right now.
It's not good, man. Thank you. That's just hard. Anyways, you didn't do any covers.
No.
B-sides.
Mm-mm.
All originals. How many tracks?
10.
On Anesthetic.
10.
How long is it?
I don't know.
Double vinyl?
It all fit on one vinyl. I got the test press up at the crib.
And you had a record player ready to go?
Put it right on and jammed it, yep.
And it was good?
Yeah. It sounds good on vinyl, man.
No issues? You didn't have to recall?
Uh-uh.
Who mixed it?
Josh Wilbur.
Shout out to Josh. Who mastered it?
I don't remember that guy's name.
Okay, so you didn't have a dog in that fight? Like you weren't?
No,
like...
I did. I actually had it mastered a second time. I just don't remember the cat's name. I didn't love the first master, so we sent it back and he redid it, and it was good then.
Okay. Do you know about our segment Outrage of the Day?
No.
you know the guy who sings the theme song.
Tell me what's the outrage of the day. Tell me what's the outrage of the day.
That was it.
Shout out to Randy.
That's the one.
Did you follow this whole thing with the kids with the MAGA hats and the?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I had tweeted. I always forget that I'm not a comedian. So I had a lot of.
You kind of are. You cracked me the fuck up. That's really good.
Thank you. It's high praise coming from you. So I put out a tweet basically saying like. Because I thought, like, what's there to be really that mad about? Like, doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't really anger me. But I said, like, be mad, you know, just wait until they, rape someone or fucking.
I saw that. You tweeted that, right? I saw that.
Or kill someone out of frat hazing.
Out of frat hazing, you said. I saw that.
But they're kids, right? So it's like, it's so people take it really to heart they're like. People are doxing them and threatening them. I never called for any of that. But I realize now that when you jump on the pile, joke or not, you people take this shit really seriously, and it's coming out now that they, you know, they're doing interviews and stuff and they're getting like famous. They're famous now for this. So now that they're under the microscope, I doubt they're gonna fuck up down the line. Right, like they're not gonna be shitty people. But was it wrong of me to expect in 10 years from now that they're gonna do something shitty and be fucked up people?
I don't know, man. Certainly in a very, very different kind of lane, but I did shit when I was 17 years old that I wouldn't want to be judged by when I was 27.
Same here.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, part of being a kid is doing dumb shit.
But I got called on shit that I did. I got put in jail over a weekend for shit that I did. Not that they should be put in jail for what they did, because they actually handled themselves.
They did
pretty well,
given the tension of the situation.
Right. Once you see all the other videos,
elements. Yeah. I tweeted
that after I saw everything. Right. Because I still thought
I read that. I was like, I was wondering. I wonder if he, you know, had the whole story yet and I didn't have a decision on what I thought you did, but. It reminds me a lot, actually, sort of conversely, of those kids in Florida after that school shooting that got real vocal in the media and were protesting. You know what I mean? And it was like they were enraging some segment of society and, you know, had a lot of support from a different political view. So this is a similar situation.
Yeah. It's like too much to put on a kid.
It is, because that's the, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I was saying a minute. Like, I'm, you know, when I was 17, I had different viewpoints than I do now. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe not on the issue currently at hand that they're in for, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You live and you grow, and
right. I was
those kids deserve the chance to change their opinion and learn a little more and be a little more open-minded.
Yeah. I mean, there was other treats. Like, I should show you my drafts. Originally, I was going to say, I tweeted one and I fucked up the spelling, so I just deleted. But originally,
you
I was going to...
drafts of tweets.
Yeah. Yeah. Originally, I was going to say, like, hey, if you're mad now, wait till they set up a festival and sell you a villa that doesn't exist. Or I was like, these are going to be the same dudes that report, like, the strippers on Snapchat to the IRS. You know, like those dudes, like just angry about something, like you're there. But or there was another one. I was like, these are dudes who put milk in the bowl first before the cereal. But then you got to realize they're just kids, you know. It's like they're allowed to fuck up. I was gonna say, oh, these are the kids that drop the N-bombs, like when you're on Xbox. Like, right? Am I wrong for thinking this? Like, most people don't say this most people don't say this in a public forum, but when you're listening to a podcast or you're on Twitter, you want to be entertained, right? I'm not here to fucking change the world with my public commentary. It's supposed to be like you're expanding on a thought, you're unpacking a situation. If you bring me new evidence and these kids, you know, go on to be successful people who do good in the world, great. Then I'll say I was wrong. But they're doing interviews and the kid's like this. He's like dead behind the eyes.
But you really think, I mean, I can't believe I'm defending these kids, but do you really think that a 17-year-old kid in a Make America Great Again hat that's right now the center of this
rich
firestorm,
Catholic,
rich, white, Catholic, probably entitled kid in a Make America Great Again hat that's protesting
women's reproductive
rights in Washington, D.C. on a field trip.
This is where we both get the USJW, you bleeding heart liberal.
Those are facts.
But we...
Well, maybe not the rich entitled. I don't know about his, you know, his economic background, but...
No, they're rich.
He was there protesting women's reproductive rights in Washington, D.C. on a field trip.
Yeah.
Right. He goes to private school.
Yeah.
Had to make America great at.
But there was a lot of people on my Twitter, not my followers. I might want to.
Which doesn't
that.
Mean anything. I'm just saying he had. To
no, help. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that sympathize with rich kids, and so to me it wasn't about people calling me reverse racist and all this stuff. No, listen,
really?
Yeah, it's like no, it's I grew up around Yale. People that I knew would go to jail for a nickel bag or a dime bag of weed. These kids had these Yale kids that we used to see, they had lawyers and PR people on staff like these kids. So like I guess it depends where you're coming from. So people,
the college kids you mean though, not the locals.
Right.
Because I grew up right next to William & Mary. Do you know anything about that school?
Yes.
Right. So the local kids didn't live like the kids that, you know, came to school. So
right.
I feel you on that.
So we had some clashes here and there being downtown, hanging downtown. And, you know, it's so if you come from old money and you sympathize with these kids, more power to you. That's your opinion. But if, you know, these are not my followers. So people are like, dude, look at your replies. They're a dumpster fire. I'm like, yeah, but these are, it's because people retweeted it. So those people are seeing it. And most of them were bots, which this is a new crazy thing. Where it's the same person or it's some, you know, they have a keyword that they search and then you go look at it and it's a fake profile with numbers, right. But they're responding. That freaks me out. So they can sway public opinion by having these fake bots responding.
Am I really to assume that every kid at that school on that field trip is like rich and entitled and spoiled? And am I?
Are you to assume?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Are you wrong to assume?
I'm asking, is that a premise on what we're discussing?
No, I'm just saying rich kids in general don't get a lot of sympathy from me. And okay. Maybe that's a flaw that I need to change because everybody's has a struggle. And I know rich kids who are great people, and I know that there will be some kids from that school who will go on and do great things, I'm sure, and they will change and they'll go, oh, but that's not what I'm saying in a tweet. And why does my tweet have to fucking include that? So that people don't get upset. It's like, fuck you. Like, that's, listen to the podcast. Let's unpack the ideas. Let's discuss it. You don't have to.
I thought your tweet was a little bit loaded. I thought it was loaded.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was a little bit like.
Jabby stabby?
Jabby. I mean, I find humor in that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Personally, I thought it was funny too. But yeah, I thought it was a little. It wasn't exactly like middle of the road.
Yeah. The other outrage I saw today was people were talking about this guy, Bryan Singer, who I guess directed like the X-Men movies. He had like just these crazy wild like gay parties with underage gay dudes. And I mean, this shit looks wild. There's photos, like pool parties, just a lot of dick getting thrown around. And this dude's like directing like major films and people are trying to cancel him, you know? And the cancel culture, we talked about this a bunch on the Jim Florentine episode, so I'm not going to get into the whole cancel culture thing with you, but just really quick, would you not watch an X-Men movie if the guy who made it was like banging 13-year-old kids?
Well,
because it kind of ruins it for me. It's like,
I don't know what to say right now, except I wouldn't probably watch an X-Men movie anyway.
Yeah, okay. Because then you get people will go, well, if you don't watch that, then you can't watch Woody Allen or Roman Polanski and yada yada yada. And then you go down the whole thing. So it's like, where do you take your stand at?
I mean, there's a lot of musicians that I like and like their music that I probably don't necessarily agree with all of their actions or their character as people.
Like Ted Nugent.
I mean, I'm not a big Ted Nugent fan anyway, but...
But if Ted calls you...
I think he's funny.
Well, if Ted calls you and was like, Mark, I heard this anesthetic is fire. Get me on the track. You gotta say yes, right?
Nugent.
You got...
Yeah, I'm gonna consider that.
You're gonna consider that Ted Nugent guest spot, right?
Yeah.
What is the best... Like, what is the best solo album you remember like growing up, or what's the best, like this is a two-part question, what's the best solo album, what's the best side project, or your favorite? It doesn't have to be the best, because I guess the best, then, you know,
I really love Mark Lanegan's solo album Bubblegum, but I mean, he does a lot of his own work, so it's not like it was like a side project departure thing, but it is, I think it is a solo album. And he actually sings on my album. Mark Lanegan does.
No way.
Yeah. No, he's one of my favorite singers, man. And that album Bubblegum that he did is still one of my favorite albums of the last however many, I don't know what. It came out a long time ago. I think it came out at least 15 years ago, but I still listen to it.
I gotta check. I see, I gotta give him a chance. I gotta check that out, because I was at I think it was at the Forum. We had a night off, Forum in London. We had a night off, and Joey C, you know, shout out to Joey C. He was playing with Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, cool.
So we go backstage, we're about to go on, whatever. You know, you want to give everybody their space, whatever. So I see this dude, and he's cool dude. You know, they're all like cool looking dudes, yeah. Right? They're just cool.
Yeah.
They got all the London who's who people back there. The hallways are tight. You don't want to be in the way. So we're like, oh, we'll go up to the balcony and watch. And so one of the extra cool dudes comes out and starts singing with them, and my dude was like, yo, that's Mark Lanegan. And I didn't know who he was. I wasn't into his, what was his band?
So he was his first band that was kind of became known was the Screaming Trees. They
that's
had that
it.
Song called Nearly Lost You back in the 90s.
Pull that up. Is that good?
I'm,
is that a
I'm
good
old
one?
and was into them.
So he comes out and ripped it, the crowd loved it. Yeah. And then he just left. And I go,
split.
I go, how cool is that? Your gig is you just come out for three songs and then you go back and you're hanging with fucking PJ Harvey and everybody backstage?
That's pretty cool.
That's a good gig.
Yeah.
That's like what Howard did when I just took him on the Jocelyn Friends.
Yeah, he just came out for a couple.
Hey, you're my Mark Lanegan. That's great. Let me hear this. I remember
you know
this
song, yeah.
This is like some hippie
it's
rock.
It's like psychedelic 90s kind of shit.
Okay. Did they have another one? Did they follow up?
Did they what?
Did they have another hit?
This was the biggest one.
What was their follow up?
I can't think of the name of it. I actually like it better.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a good one.
The name of it though. You know this song, right?
Lost you. This is a hit.
Yeah, that was a big song.
Wow, so you got this dude on your record. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were going to go that route. Like, I was thinking, like, he probably has, like, the dude from Trouble and the dude from...
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
Who else is... Who? What are the other guests on the album?
Well, singers, it's Chester, Jacoby, and Mark Lanigan, Chuck Billy, Josh Todd sings a song.
Josh Todd from...
Buck Cherry.
Get out.
Yeah. It's this real sleazy hard rock song. It's really cool.
Is it talk about cocaine?
Not directly. Not directly.
What's the craziest musical instrument on there? You got like a Moog, you got triangle. I know you got tambourine.
I think there might be some tambourine. I can't remember.
No, I was going to hit you up. I was like, if you don't want me to sing on it, at least let me bust some fucking tambourine on
it. I have to ask Josh. I know it at least came up. And I don't know if it's on there or not. I can't remember.
Dude, I put this new song I do.
You won't catch the fucking tambourine on a Lamb of God album.
Never. You'll have some dinky ass little cymbal.
Like cymbal the size of a quarter. Yeah.
Sometimes I joke around, like I'll have a coaster like on the bus, like a little like coaster for your beer, and I'll go, "Hey, look, it's Chris Adler's cymbal." So
yo, why are you dogging Chris?
Yo, I'll have like a CD. I'll be like, "Look, it's a Chris Adler cymbal." So, all right, but anyways, so I got
this. My man.
So I got this song with another song with Howard Jones that we're putting on the new Josta record. And I was like, and Nikki, it was like, dude, it needs tambourine. And I was like, do it. And he put that tambourine on there, and it's fucking great.
It made the song.
It's so good. All right, I know you gotta go. You got a long day of promoting anesthetic. I almost said aesthetic.
Aesthetic.
Anesthetic, and it's coming out March 1st. Your boy Dez, whatever happened to the Become the Storm? Did any of those riffs and ideas end up on this?
Born of the Storm.
Born of the Storm.
No, it didn't. Man, that was really cool stuff.
It was good. You should have did a record.
Yeah, we got close, man. And
Monty missed the ball on that. I'm sorry, Monty. I was in New York. I was at Roadrunner. He played me the shit. He goes, guess who this is? I couldn't guess. I was like, who is this? He's like, that's Dez. I go, this is cool. You should put it out. But yo, they missed the ball. He'll admit it. They missed the ball on Kingdom of Sorrow, which that, you know, both those albums did well on Relapse, and they dropped the ball on that. How they didn't pick that up, I don't know if there was red tape behind the scenes, but he dropped the ball on that, Monty. Sorry, Monty.
Yeah, I think at the time there was just kind of some doubt as to whether or not we would really be able to support it and take it seriously because of our schedules with our primary bands and that kind of thing. And there was some other stuff. You know, Dez and I, we had a lot of fun working on that stuff, and we're still friends and everything. And we both realized internally, I think, too, that we're so busy with our other thing. And to start this whole new band and then, like, get a deal for it and have to do everything that's expected of you, you know what I mean? It would have been a lot. So we just kind of dumped the songs out there and let people check them out. They're cool. I like that stuff a lot, though.
No, it was cool.
Dez sounded great. Dez's songs were cool.
He's killing it with the management company, too. And I would just hit him up on Twitter. I'm like, we got to do double duty Dez shirts for this tour, because he's doing a Cold Chamber set and a Devil Driver set on this tour coming up. But so can you announce your tour or no? What's the deal?
When is this airing?
It's going to air Friday.
I don't know if I can or not.
Okay. All right. Well, we had Howard on yesterday.
They said they're announcing Thursday, but I don't really have the...
We kind of hinted to it.
I don't have the authority. Did Howard talk about it?
We alluded to it, you know, because they've already put that other tour on sale within this moment, Seven Dust, which is in May. I'm like, bro, you got to drop these dates with Mark.
Yeah. It kind of came together pretty quick. I haven't even talked to Howard since this whole thing came.
All right, Mark, you got to go. Thank you so much for the time. Always good to see you.
Always, man.
I love you, brother.
Thanks for having me. I love you back, man.
And best of luck with the album. Anesthetic, everybody go get it. March 1st. And the tour, I'll put up the dates, or you'll tweet them out, and then we'll blast them out.
Thanks for the support, man. It's fun.
Anytime, man. We're gonna do the Riff Beast shirt for you. We're gonna hype it up.
All right.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, bro.
We do this outro after the outro because we got bills to pay. We're trying to keep the lights on. We're trying to build the network. We're trying to get new shows, and I'm trying to get this Josta record finished. So we're running a rerun today, but that's okay. If you want to subscribe and you want to get the whole archive and you want to get a new Thrash Countdown episode and a new episode with Rob Flynn from Machine Head, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code JOSTA, and do what you got to do, all right? Listen on your browser like I do. Also, Got to thank Monster as always. I'm back on the white tea. That is the best fucking flavor, okay? The white dragon tea is good too. One's got a black top, one's got a white top, but I like the white tea straight up. It's the best. It's rehab. Love it. MonsterEnergy.com to find out about all their different flavors, their events, their artists, their athletes, and more. And give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Monster Music and at Monster Energy. Don't forget, I'm headed out on the road September 20th. We start in Springfield. Go to Hatebreed.com. Dropkick Murphys, Clutch, Hatebreed, Amigo the Devil, and Russ Rankin from Good Riddance on some dates as well. It's going to be fun. We're going to Birmingham. We never play Birmingham. We're going to Salt Lake. We're going to Moorhead, Minnesota. We're going to fucking, where else? There was one other one I was looking at. I was like, oh, we're going back to Omaha. I mean, shit, man. This is great. A great way to close out the record cycle. We didn't really get to do a big support slot. Some of these shows are in like big theaters and small arenas. It's going to be fun. Hatebreed.com for your tickets, and maybe we'll have some VIPs up for some of the headline shows or the off day show in Tennessee with Clutch. Big thank you to Blue Chew for coming back on board as a sponsor. I know they're probably going to sell out of products, so act fast. Go to BlueChew.com. Use the code JOSTA. All you're going to do is pay $5 in shipping for your new favorite male enhancement. And it's like chewing gum. You're going to chew it and do it. BlueChew.com. Use the code JOSTA. Also, I've got to thank IndieMerchStore.com, my favorite place to get all my metal, death metal, hardcore, crossover, power metal, whatever you want to call it. All the subgenres, they got it. Over at IndieMerchStore.com, use the code 15JASTA. That's 15 JASTA. Go pre-order that new Rings of Saturn. Go see all the restocks on all the great classic designs from bands like Death and Cannibal Corpse and Behemoth. And they even have Clutch stuff. Since we're going on tour with Clutch, got to shout out Clutch. Got to get Neil Fallon back on the podcast. Also, thank you to Wix. We built the JostaShow.com with Wix. And we're looking for someone to run it. If someone wants to run it and update it a bunch and add some sections and stuff, shoot us an email, JostaShow@gmail.com. But click that link on the bottom of the JostaShow.com, and Wix is going to give you 10% off of any premium plan. If you want to build your website, now is the time. And really want to keep Wix on board as a sponsor, so please use that link. They're helping out this podcast a bunch, and we want to help them out. Great company with a great product. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, just if you want to watch the video episode of this, of me and Mark sitting there in New York in our hoodies in the freezing cold winter. Go to just search Josta Show, Mark Morton, you'll see it, and then subscribe, please. And don't forget to make sure you get notifications. So we're going to add a bunch of video episodes from the archive coming up very soon. All right. And sale 10 still works at martyrstore.net if you want to get a signed Kingdom of Sorrows CD from Kirk and myself. We still have a couple left. And yeah, I think that's it. Martyrstore.net, MARTYRSTORE.net. All right. I love you all. Thank you all. Get out there, slay the day, keep the PMA to the grave, drink your coffee, do your pushups, listen to death metal. And I'll be back next week with the continuation of my thrash countdown and with Rob Flynn from Machine Head. Okay, have a great weekend. Thanks again, everybody. Bye.